Howdy folks, and welcome back to another new episode of Living the Dream Podcast with Caitlin. I'm your host. Thank you for coming back and joining me. I hope you're impacted by this episode. Let's get into it. Listen, we are in a series called Caitlin's Five, and I've had some time to ponder on what I want to talk about and why it's important to talk about these specific things in particular. And if you haven't listened to part one of the series, you should probably pause this and go listen to that in its entirety and then hop back in a game and come listen to this, okay? All right. So this episode is about Caitlin's five lessons from sports. Yeah, I don't know. So there's a quote that says, "Sports is the greatest physical poetry." And that was really deep to me. It was really deep for me because I've seen the ins and outs of sports. I've had horrible coaches that have sucked the life out of me. I've had life-changing coaches that I hold dear in my heart and I thank them every chance I get. I've been in the trenches with some great teammates, you know, best times. But I've also been on some life-sucking teams, you know, and that's a part of it. Kind of love, hate, bittersweet kind of moments. But this idea behind sports being physical poetry is the foundation of this whole topic today. And with that being said, it brings me to my first lesson. Lesson number one, you have to wake up every day and cash in. You know, you're probably thinking, cash in? What do you mean? I'm talking about grinding. Like when I got to college, you know, I had my first 5 a.m. workout. Shout out to Coach Dixon. We had to do some sprints on a football field and then run a mile. You know, you're probably like, oh, that ain't nothing. Yeah, it's something at 5 a.m., you know. And if you didn't make your mile in under 8 minutes, you had to do it again on the indoor track. And the indoor track was much shorter, so it was roughly 12 to 13 laps, I believe. Anyways, being a freshman, I guess me and my teammate, you know, that ended up being my roommate eventually, we didn't really get the memo on the time thing, you know. So here we are, barely crossing the line at near death point at this point, you know. And all I hear is 801, 802, 806, 810. I'm like, okay, you know, my time is good. You know, I'm like, okay, cool. It's over. I can go crash in my dorm, take a nap. Nope. Coach said, if we called your name and your time, so you crossed the line, step to the side, you didn't make it. Ooh, I nearly had a heart attack right there. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. You know, it's funny now, but in that moment, it was not funny. I remember calling my grandma right after that workout. I was like, I don't know if I can do this. And she's like, okay, well, what else you gonna do? Where else you gonna go? You know, you better figure it out kind of thing. But kind of going back to this cash-in mindset, you know, nobody is gonna wait on you to cross the finish line to your dreams. Nobody is gonna wait on you to show up early at work, clock in on time, and bring your best performance. Because you know why? Just like when my team didn't show up to play on a given night and we got a 100-piece put on us and got our butts kicked, life is the same way. It's going to kick you right in the you-know-what and have no remorse. Like, if you're not clocking in on time and doing what you're supposed to do, guess what? Somebody else will. Your job is going to find somebody else that will. If you're not going to class on time, turning your homework, studying, being a good student, well, guess what? You're going to fail. And then you will see you in the fall. That's what it is. If you're not chasing after Christ daily and serving to be a light in this world, guess what? The devil has planned 10 more tactics to keep you in that mindset, to keep you in that mode, because he's no, you're not even focused. And I don't want that for you. You know, I didn't like when that team put 100 on us, even if they were outside of our division or a better team. So what? Like, show up and cash in. You know, we always have this saying, rent is due every day. Success is not free. So you got to cash in, man. Have that mindset of cashing in and putting your head down and getting to work. Lesson number two. Sports has taught me that quitting will get you nowhere. Believe it or not, I actually quit playing basketball when I was in high school. Had some issues going on. I mean, valid issues, valid reasons to throw in the towel. You know, not gonna lie. And at that moment, it felt good. I had no responsibility. I felt lighter. I was glad about it. But I had to think about a few things and realize that quitting, it wasn't hurting my coaches. It probably hurted my teammates because, I was replaceable, but I know they missed me. I mean, anybody's replaceable, but it was hurting me at the end of the day. And one thing that kind of really stuck with me from basketball, kind of in that season, one of my coaches said one day during practice as we were running, suicides in the gym. She said, "Look to the person to the left and to the right of you. Yes, these are your teammates, but one day this person next to you is gonna be your family member. It's gonna be your husband. It's gonna be your wife. It's gonna be your kids. It's gonna be your church community. And if you give up now, you're gonna fall in that habit, and you're gonna give up on people when it gets hard. You're gonna let everybody that's counting you down." I was like, "Dang, like that is powerful." In that moment, I'm like, "Yeah, you're right." But is that something that you want? I know you're thinking, but I've never like played sports. Like, what does it have to do with anything? It has everything to do with everything. It's life principles we're talking about. Can your family count on you to not give up on them when it gets hard? Can your friends count on you to be there for them when they're in a mind battle? Can you count on you to not give up when times get hard, when nobody seems to be there for you or nobody seems to understand what you're going through? It's hard to be the person who never gives up. Yeah. Adversity is going to hit. Life is going to hit. But what are you going to do? Are you going to stand up and rise to the occasion? Or are you going to fold? Just some tough things to think about. So lesson number three. One of my favorite quotes that I keep in my back pocket is, "Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard." I've been on many teams and played with so many players that have had God-given talent. I mean, could have gone anywhere to play in school, even onto the next level. But on any given day, they did not work me. They may have had looked good on the floor. They may have had the most points some nights. And I was okay with that because I was always operating my gift. I never had a problem with operating in my gift, and I knew the role that I had on my team. And I also knew what I brought to the table as a teammate, even as a player. And here's just the gem of the day. Write this down. If you're driving, don't write it down. You can come back and bring tea notes later. But if you are operating outside of your gift, there's two things. Number one, don't expect God to bless you. Number two, don't expect to be successful or impactful. You can't be impactful or successful operating outside of your gift. If you're a guitar player and you pick up a saxophone and you've never played saxophone a day in your life, yeah, you might be able to read music, but you don't know what you're doing. So don't expect to be a world-known saxophone player. If you're an eye doctor and you pull up to the dentist's office, trying to diagnose people and clean people's teeth and pull people's teeth out their mouth, nothing good is gonna come out of that. So what I'm trying to get at is, I was never the best player on the team. Yeah, so what? However, I was a good teammate. I was always cheering for my team. If my teammate needed me in the gym, I was there for them. Rebounding, whatever it was, getting up shots, it doesn't matter. I was there for them day in and day out. I gave my all in the classroom. I worked my butt off in the classroom to keep my grades up for my team. And that did not go unseen. Hard work beats anything. I'm telling you, I don't care what nobody tells you. Believe me on this because I've seen good things come out of operating in your gift and working hard and doing what you're supposed to be doing. Be who God has called you to be in this season. For your family, for your team, for your friends, for your job, for yourself, for your relationships. I'm telling you, good things are gonna come out of that. Lesson number four. Sports has taught me, oh man, that rejection hurts, and if we let it can kill the very thing that used to give us life. Oh yeah, this is a tough one. Leading up to my junior year of college, I was hit hard with some stupid, crazy injuries on top of concussions. I had fractured my ankle without surgery, thank God. I ended up pulling my hip flexor. which caused my hip, it caused my hip to feel out of whack. I still deal with pain till this day. And I hit that peak, you know, I hit that wall of my career when I was questioning things. A lot of athletes hit that wall. I definitely got discouraged and I wasn't playing my best. I just kind of just lost focus on why I was even there. So I had a lot of things to think about going into my senior year. I had to talk with my coach at the end of the season. We ended up switching coaches, so I had to talk with him. And, you know, I just wanted to know where I can improve at, you know, how to be a better player, you know, to finish off the season, to finish off my last year of collegiate season, and how I can get better, you know. And sometimes that's what we need. Sometimes we need to sit down and say, hey, I am not performing the way I'm supposed to be performing. Whether that's at work, whatever you're doing, sometimes it's okay to sit down in the mirror and have some me time, have mirror time, mirror talk. If you don't know what mirror talk is, go listen to the previous episodes. You'll know what I'm talking about. Mirror talk. That's okay. But out of that whole conversation me and my coach had, these words stuck with me. You're not in my top 5. You're not even in my top 10. I don't know what to tell you on how to get better. I said, oh, excuse my French, but damn. You know, like, I mean, just kick a girl to the ground and kick her some more, if you will. Like, I mean, such a brutal conversation. I mean, it was gut-wrenching. It was throat-clogging. You know, you ever had that feeling where you're like, God, this hurts. You know, I remember those words for a reason. Till this day, I remember how I felt afterwards. And even right now, as I'm speaking about it, it hurt. It really did. You know, no player wants to hear those words. You know, basketball was all I knew. And at one point, it was my identity. You know, I wasn't the best player. I can tell you that. But I was there every day, giving my all each and every day, just like every other girl that was on that line. And I've said earlier, you know, I've seen good things on the other side of hard work, but I've also seen the ugly side of it too. I've seen the so what. I've seen the ruthless side of it. And it's painful, especially coming from people who you look up to or people who should value you. I had to swallow those words. I had to swallow that feeling of rejection, but also I had to pick my chin up. And the reason I had to pick my chin up is because my identity didn't belong to a team. It didn't belong to that coach. It belonged to Jesus. Period. And if you're going through a form of rejection right now, whether it's at your job, from your family members, from your relationships, from your peers even, you know, I want you to know that this feeling of rejection is only fuel for redemption. And by that, I mean there's something greater on the other side of this feeling. You and I have to go through rejection so we can know how it feels and we can use this feeling to help others who are falling short, to be the light for others who are in a dark place. And I don't mean to get all churchy and preachy, but you know, that's kind of in me, but this is something I'm passionate about because I know for myself firsthand how this feels. One of my dreams one day is to become a coach, and I know it's inevitable to avoid tough situations, and I know I'm going to have to cut players and so on. That comes with it. That's just part of the game. It's part of the job. But I guarantee you, I would never, and I mean never, make any of my players feel that pain that I had to experience from my coach. It sucked the life out of me to the point where I didn't want to work out, to the point where I did want to pick up a ball or anything, not even watch basketball. Didn't even want to watch basketball anymore. I'm just now getting back to the point where I'm like, I'm back into it, back watching it. And I think that's the part of the reason why maybe I am a little hesitant on being on that ground like I used to. And I truly feel for those athletes who are in that season, that have gone through that season of a horrible coach beating them down instead of bringing them up. That's not okay, and it will never be okay. And we have to treat our athletes better than that. But I also want to say to our athletes, don't get caught up in things being your identity, especially your sport. Because when you get rejected, it will feel like your world just ended, and it didn't. It just begun. Last lesson, lesson number 5. Sports has taught me that the greatest gift that I can pass on to someone is the knowledge of the game. You know, pass it forward, pay it forward. I've had the opportunity to coach co-ed youth basketball team a while ago, and it was tough. I'm not gonna lie, those kids were tough cookies, man. But it was fulfilling. It was so fruitful pouring into these kids and giving them knowledge to be great on and off the court. That's more than anyone can ask. And now that I'm thinking about this, if you're too high and mighty to serve others and to give back who are following you, and to give back knowledge to others that need it and that can benefit from it, then you're too good to be a leader. I'm sorry. In order for you to be impactful in this life, you must turn around and extend your hand out and give to others. Right? You didn't know how to work that database at work. Someone taught you that. You didn't wake up knowing how to drive that car. Someone taught you how to drive a car, whether you went to driver's school, your parents taught you, whatever. You didn't wake up knowing how to be a teacher. Someone had to teach you. So why can't you do the same? Why can't you turn around and help somebody else? It's not going to hurt you. If anything, it's going to help you. You're going to find how fulfilling it is, how beneficial it is for you. And I love the game basketball. It has definitely taught me more than 5 lessons. And this was hard. I'm not going to lie to you. But I did it. You know, and with all these lessons, this is why I have to agree that sport is physical poetry. Poetry gives us a deeper meaning of something. It allows us to express or feel a certain way when we read it. Well, sports is that for me. Sports has allowed me to find a deeper meaning for my life beyond dribbling the ball. And it has allowed me to express and feel things that I probably would have never experienced or felt had I not chosen to play the game. All right, guys, let's wrap this up and head for home base. Once again, follow, subscribe, download, turn on all the notifications for the social media platforms. They will be posted below. Listen, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Send me an email, leave a review, tell me what you liked about it, tell me what you think, and you already know. I want you to be impacted so you can go be impactful. I love you, God loves you, and that's all that matters. Until next time, folks. Peace.